Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Do you have too much stuff in your home? You know, clothes and stuff, kitchen utensils and dishes and stuff. Your home is just stuffed to the gills. Well, we're continuing our series on the spring spruce up of your home, and tonight we're going to help you get cleaned up, purge all of that stuff, and get your stuff organized. My guest is Catherine Pikett, founder and CEO of Tidy Milso. And if you have a comment or a question about cleaning your home, purging, organizing, just getting rid of your stuff and getting your stuff together, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Harold.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We have been having so much fun even before we got on the air. So let us get to it. All right, so let's... We'll talk about cleaning in a bit, but I want to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, people just have so much stuff, and they just can't seem to get it together. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I would first say that when it comes to stuff, i.e. clutter, it's the act of postponed decisions. So we put something down and we don't make a decision of where it actually goes. And so that kind of becomes the habit. And so everything becomes out of sorts. And then it gets to a point where it's so overwhelming that you just don't know where to begin.
Gosh, yeah, I can understand that. I'm not one of those people who has a lot of stuff. I don't like clutter.
Yeah.
Because the job is so intellectually cluttered and emotionally cluttered that I, not a minimalist, but I don't like a whole lot of stuff hanging around. So when somebody, you know, calls you and they need to first, do you purge first or do you organize first?
Well, you definitely want to declutter first. You want to know everything that you want to keep. As a certified KonMari consultant, we really focus on deciding what to keep.
You said a certified?
KonMari consultant.
KonMari.
Yes.
That sounds Japanese.
It is Japanese.
It is all.
Yes.
Oh,
it
konnichiwa. Arigato.
It is Japanese.
That's all I got for you. So what is KonMari?
So Marie Kondo, it's her certification program. It's actually her name. So KON, the last three of her last name, and then MARI, the first four letters of her first name. So it's named after her. And the method really focuses on what everybody knows as Sparks Joy.
Sparks Joy.
Yes.
Which is something that everybody doesn't know. What is Sparks Joy?
Yeah, absolutely. So Spark Joy is something, I basically call it like a meter. It's a way to determine the things that you desire to keep. So when you're going through stuff, there's an immediate reaction that you have towards that item. For some people, they may not have a reaction. They may have more of a reaction of the total functionality. But that system or the particular item can all spark joy.
Mm. Oh, so something that sparks joy when you see it.
Yes.
Oh.
Or its function. So like it could be, you know, a particular dress that, you know, when you put it on, like that's it. Like that exciting feeling.
Definitely not a thing for me.
Yes.
But,
yes. Right. Mm. And so for some people, it could be the system, right? It could be the simplicity, the value that it adds to your everyday.
Wow, I never thought about that. And so those things that spark joy,
yeah,
that give you some kind of feeling,
yeah,
a fizz, an effervescence,
yeah,
when you think about it or look at it, I guess those are the things that get to stay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the thing, though. There are some things that stay that you don't pay a whole lot of attention to,
yeah,
until, you know, Catherine Pikett comes around. Then you start touching things and they say, no, 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 don't do that. And no, 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 don't do that. And no, 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 don't do that. So is there a process of elimination?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always start my clients with ideal setting. So really understanding what they envision for their home, what they envision for their space, and lead with that. That way they are able to have an end result or an expectation of what they want it to be like. And so if your idea is that, hey, I want this whole counter to be clear, but when we're making decisions, you're keeping everything, then you're kind of going against what that vision is. So I kind of use that to kind of redirect and kind of encourage them to make a decision.
You sound like a therapist.
I get that all the time.
So this is kind of like therapy, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about cleaning, purging, and getting your home organized. Of course, this is part of our weekly series on the spring spruce up of your home. I'm talking to Catherine Pikett, founder and CEO of Tidy Milso. 202-319-7810. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. The expert is in. Okay. So is there, you said you kind of redirect.
Yes.
But God, it sounds like that can be a bit of a, I want to say a fight, but a dispute. Does it get down to that sometimes?
Sometimes it can be challenging. But one of the things that I do, you know, when I decide to take on a client is determine whether or not they're willing to let go. So during the clarity call, during their consultation, I kind of have an idea if they're in that mental space, that they're ready and they have that willingness to let go.
How do you know when they don't?
So there are certain things that are like definitive. They may use like definitive statements like everything here stays, right? Or I want to do this, but I don't want to touch that, right? So very like definitive, like almost already creating boundaries. So that already tells me that they're not ready. Most of my clients have had this desire, or they just don't know how to do it, or they've just moved and they're like, hey, I would rather prefer for somebody to come in, create the system and tell me what to do and I can follow it, right? So there's those two different, you know, types of clients there. But usually by the time I do the consultation, I have an idea of whether or not like it could be a challenge during that time.
What do you think is the most difficult thing for people to get rid of?
Ooh, that's a good question, Harold. The most difficult thing for people to get rid of. Spices. It always comes down to things in the kitchen, right?
Spices?
Spices, canned goods.
Wait a minute. You have spark joy about spices?
Yeah. And so that's what I mean in terms of like spark joy, in terms of like adding value to your life, right? There are expiration dates on spices. There are expiration dates on cans.
Expire it.
Yes.
Okay, yeah,
yes.
I get it. Right.
If it's expired. But they could say, oh, well, it should be good for another few months, or it should be good for another whatever. But like spices, after they expire, they lose their flavor. So when you're seasoning it, it's not really seasoned anymore. So I think that that's the hardest thing for people to let go. I've noticed that like when I create like the pile and it's like, okay, these are the expired goods, and I put them to the side, they still end up back into the cabinet.
See, that doesn't make sense to me because, yeah. Okay, you've got this, you know, this vanilla mango flavored,
yeah,
whatever. Well, just buy some more.
Yeah, but and also that's the other part, right? They're expensive. Spices now, it's like $9, $10. So I think it's also like, again, going back to like most challenging, the mindset. Like being ready to let go of like your ideas or maybe experiences that you've had like with your family or generational things that someone tells you like, hey, like this is good. I know this expired so and so, and you can use it for a couple. It's still good for a couple more months.
I would think so. But so, what about those things that you can't necessarily replace? Like what? Like photographs, or for example,
yeah.
What do you do with those?
Yeah. So I actually had a client who was her family archivist. And so she had generations and generations of photos and documents and all the things and copies because, you know, everybody used to have three copies of one photo, right? And so we made the decision to to stop the, what's the word? The assignment, right? So it was like, I want to keep this because I want to give it to so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of conversations is also a part of letting go, because you have to let go of the assignment of the other person, because you don't know if they want to keep it, right? It's the same thing as like you want to hold on to a wedding dress for your daughter one day, right? And then one day never comes, and then here the things stay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we reduced the amount of duplicates that she had. And then we also picked the things that were specifically important to her that she wanted to carry on. So it was a part of the process that she had to let go of, like, what they thought she wanted, what they thought they wanted her to keep, and transition to what she wanted to keep for herself and the next generation.
So then what do you do with the photographs? I mean, I know there are some people that those photographs are in photo books.
Yeah, digitized. Or,
so you have them digitized.
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah. And that seems to be the way to go. Are people resistant to having those photographs digitized?
Some people are. Some people, even when they digitize, they still keep the hard copy.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also run into the other thing, which is digital clutter, right? So the storage and, you know, all the other things. But what she ended up deciding to do was we created a spatial limitation on how many photos she could actually store comfortably. She ended up digitizing all of those. And then again, losing that attachment, I want to assign this to my brother or my sister or my cousin and all of that. That was the reason that it stopped her from moving forward and actually getting to a place where she could declutter. So that was a huge factor, for
that's,
sure.
That's amazing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're helping you get cleaned up, purge, and get your house organized. My guest is Catherine Pikett, founder and CEO of Tidy Mill. So let's talk to Dwana calling from Tennessee. Dwana, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey there. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine.
Great. Hi, Catherine. I actually do practice some of the KonMari. My favorite is how my linen closet is folded. I love folding my linens and the way I fold clothes and everything. I love it. It's great. I watch her YouTube videos all the time.
Okay.
My challenge, though, however, is how to deal with paper clutter, accumulation of mail, magazines, brochures, just all of that, you know, because some of it you have to keep for tax purposes or what have you. And that's my biggest challenge, is how to go through the paper clutter.
Mm. Suggestions about doing that, and tax information is one thing. Those old Jet magazines and Ebony magazines, that's different.
Absolutely, absolutely. I always say, when it comes to paper, focus on the paper that's already there. So if you already have paper clutter, bringing in more incoming mail, bringing in more things into the house is going to add fuel to the fire. So address the paperwork that you already have. Begin by sorting it into different categories: bills, payments, receipts, things you ought to keep, those kind of things. And then once you've sorted them into those categories, then go through each of those piles individually and declutter. Because then you have a start point and then you have a stop point. So once you finish this pile, you can move on to the next pile. When you're looking at a stack of paper or stacks of paper, it can get really overwhelming. So by starting by sorting them, that's definitely going to help you. And then once you've done that, then you want to figure out your mail system. First things first, you already know there's going to be junk mail. So you can take care of that by going online, unsubscribing from it. You can not let it enter the house. You can put it right in the recycling before it even gets inside. And then you want to create a system, a three-file system, right? Things that are pending, things that maybe they're bills that you need to pay. Maybe they're things that just need to be filed away. They're just taxes or statements, right? Those are things that need to be filed, and then things that you haven't looked at yet. So that three-step process. So things that you have to, you know, take action on, things that you need to file, and then, of course, things that you need to keep going through.
And don't forget, you know, Dwana, if any tax documents that you have that are older than 7 years, toss them. After 7 years, you don't need that stuff. So what is this, 2023? Anything older than 2016, it's done.
Yeah.
So you don't you don't need that. You don't need those tax forms from 2010, 2011, and 2013 and all that. Just toss that out. Duana, thank you so much for giving us a call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Clarence from D.C., stay with us. We're going to talk to you next. Do not hang up. We're taking a brief break, but stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Don't forget, you can hear every Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast. That'll be on our website on WHUR.com, as well as this one. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This discussion about getting your home cleaned up, purged, and getting your stuff organized. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're continuing our series on the spring spruce up of your home. We're going to help you get cleaned up, purge that stuff, and get your stuff organized. My guest is Catherine Pikett, founder and CEO of Tidy Milso. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Clarence, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Clarence. What's on your mind?
I was calling because I'm glad you guys are talking about this today. I am in a process of trying to purge now.
Mm-hmm.
But my issue is that I'll look at something and then I'll say, I don't want to throw that away because I might use that one day. And then it ends up being a bigger and bigger pile that I end up keeping. So was hoping to get some advice on how to continue with that purge, because I always find a way to keep something that I think I actually should get rid of.
What is the thing that you might use someday?
Sometimes it's clothes. Sometimes it's like an old electronic device. Sometimes it's some papers. Sometimes it's like a tool out of my toolbox. Sometimes it's just old stuff that I've had for 5-6 years. There's a lot of different things.
So, I guess, Catherine, what are you hearing here? I mean, I know clothes are certainly an issue. Clarence, I suspect you're probably not talking about those bell bottoms that you had from 1979. But,
yep.
Right, because you can, keep those for Halloween, but other than that, you want to throw those out. But let's start with the clothes thing, Catherine.
Yeah, absolutely. So first I want to say decluttering requires honesty, right? And so by you making a statement saying, I may use this one day, someday. What happens if that someday, one day never comes, right? And so you have to kind of figure out if the space that it's taking up is worth the space that is taking up in your home, if it's worth not making a decision, right? And so you have to be honest. You have to make a decision about it. I would say compare it to other things that you have definitively decided to keep and use that to kind of gauge whether or not it fits, right? So, like, if you remember, like, when you're a kid and it says, okay, which one of these objects don't fit in this group? Right?
One of these things is not like the
other. Yes, one of these things is not like the right. other, right? There's always something that's going to stand out. So if you're comparing your clothes and you're comparing your items and you're like, hey, I may use this someday, and then you look at your other items and it doesn't really fit, then that should give you a sense to, give yourself that permission to let it go.
Mm. Tools. He mentioned tools.
Yeah.
Now, that's different, I would imagine.
Yeah. Tools are definitely different. I would definitely start with what you actually use and maybe things that you have used in the past, maybe more than once as a gauge. But honestly, I don't know what you use the tools for. Are you in that field or is this just like general house tools?
Just general house tools. And
yeah.
Like around them.
Yeah.
Some of it's like for like computers that I might like use. I used to have an office, so it's like tools for the office.
Okay.
Clean up that. So it's certain things that I know I should get away from, but it's sometimes my mentor is like, no, you're going to need that one day. So that's what
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, you talking about your mental, it all starts with your mindset. Like, you have to get, you have to shift your mindset to focus on, like, what the actual goal is. So if you're looking at your tools and you suggested that, you know, these are things that you used to use in the past, but you know you're not going to use, you have to be honest with yourself and say, hey, I'm going to let this go because I'm actually not going to use it. Right. So it is a mindset shift. I would encourage you to probably create a list of things that you want to achieve and see if the things that you're keeping, if it's aligned with that.
Mm. Clarence, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Carla. Calling from Upper Marlboro. Carla, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I wanted to get some advice from her about, because I'm one of those individuals, I know I have OCD, but I lived by myself for the longest, and then I finally allowed family to move in. So we have different eating habits, we have different living habits, and so I developed clutter in the house. Mm-hmm. So I would try to clean it out myself, but there's an anxiety that would come over me and I would just walk away from it. So I decided to hire someone mm-hmm. to declutter for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was comfortable with her doing the kitchen, but in order to do it so that the anxiety wouldn't kick in, I left.
Mm.
I left the house. But I haven't gotten to that point of being comfortable with saying, okay, attack my garage, because there's this anxiety or fear that she's going to throw something away that's sentimental to me that means nothing to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting over that hump or that anxiety
mm-hmm.
of decluttering. Like, I really want it decluttered because my OCD just goes into overdrive sometimes when I walk in the house and I see things. But I don't know how to do that, as well as also manage other individuals in the household who don't have the OCD issues that I have.
So can you clarify, have you been, like, clinically diagnosed with OCD, or is this just an
yeah.
observation? Okay. So when you, the family members that you invited into the home, do you all share the kitchen space? Like, what is the house like?
Yeah, we share the kitchen space.
Okay.
We share everything except for the bedrooms.
Okay.
They're in one room. I'm in my bedroom.
Okay.
But we have entirely different eating habits.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of speaking about, you know, working with a professional organizer in terms of decluttering, I would probably say that you need a professional organizer that's going to work alongside you. So personally, when I work with my clients, I do not tell them what to get rid of. I guide them on making a decision. I give them information so that they're able to make an informed decision. But I personally do not put anything in a donation bag or anything like that. So I would probably say that the professional organizer that you worked with may not have worked well with you. And that's perfectly fine. Everyone has different needs. So if you are still wanting to have that support, I would definitely try to find someone that works alongside you as opposed to somebody doing it for you. Because, again, you run that risk of, you know, them discarding something that you actually may have wanted to keep.
But we tried. That's the reason why I had to leave.
Yeah.
Because I tried working beside her, and I was like, okay, this is becoming too overwhelming for me.
Okay.
So I had to leave.
Okay. What about it
was like,
overwhelming?
What if I don't know, I don't know.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
What she threw away, I'm like, if I don't know, I don't know. And that's the point I had to get to, which was, if I don't know, you threw it away. If I don't even remember that it was there, it's not going to matter to me. But if I see it, there's that attachment to it. Like you said, with those spices. Yeah, I know they lose their potency. But I'm like, no, but that was some good spice. And I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So I had to leave.
Yeah, I completely get that. Do you have support for your disorder?
support in the sense of, like, am I taking medication?
No, like therapy or like an advocate or someone to help you kind of like process these things?
No, not really, no.
Okay. So I would probably suggest that you work with someone and have that additional support so that they can help you like process that, those thoughts, those intrusive things that come up, you know, to the point where you had to leave. And try to figure out like how to manage that and then try to tackle it once you've achieved that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Carla, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I appreciate
absolutely.
It. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Trisha calling from Maryland. Trisha, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I have a problem with hoarding like really bad. I have shoes, or maybe 300 pair of shoes, clothes in every room, every closet, basement, stuff in my garage, and it's really, I don't know what to do. Like, I never lived like this. I've been like this maybe over the last, I guess, 15 years.
Okay.
I've had a, where I've tried to reach out for help. I've been to a counselor, and they tell me, you know, things, you know, that, maybe happened in my life. Well, I know for one, I grew up poor and we didn't have much growing up. So I had it in my mind when I get grown, I'm going to get anything I want in life, whatever. So I have that, but now it's like I have too much and I don't know how to let it go.
Yeah. This is not a uncommon thing. So I don't want you to feel alone in this. Oftentimes, like you said, when you don't have much, you know, you live in abundance, right? And sometimes you may overdo it, right?
Yeah.
And so in terms of figuring out how to let go, you said this happened 15 years ago. So I want you to think back in your life, just like the counselor mentioned, what happened 15 years ago? What pivotal thing happened 15 years ago that changed from, you know, maybe having a more organized lifestyle to, you know, having hoarding tendencies?
Where I thought about all of that and I went back.
Yeah.
And my son got shot in D.C. in 91. He's alive and well, 46 years old.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
My husband passed in 2008. My dad passed in 2009. My mom passed like years, like 25 years ago, like 95.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm it's not their stuff. Everything
is your stuff. Yeah.
My stuff.
So what's your plan moving forward, Trisha?
I've been trying to do a little flea market, y'all sell. That's not gonna work. I mean, it's working a little bit, but it's a lot of time.
Yes.
I need to donate. I know what I need to do, but I'm having an issue doing it. And my kids tell me that they want to come and they want to take everything and throw it away. But like the lady said, it's good. My stuff is good. It's not all of it. Some of it may be junk. But to them, but most of it's valuable and it's good stuff. And I know I can sell it and get money for it. And my kids are telling me, well, your problem is you need a man. You're single and you don't have anyone.
Well, hold on, Trisha, because certainly while my guest is brilliant, I didn't want to go down the dating hole because we're trying to get homes organized. But I think that she... I was able to impart some really good information, and just as she was speaking with the previous guest, you know, you certainly want to make sure that you get your inside squared away before you deal with the outside, meaning the house. And it seems at least that you recognize the issue.
Yeah.
And that you are on the way. And the 300 pair of shoes, you know, even if you were to sell 100, you know, that extra, you know, piece of change may be one form of incentive to get you going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Trisha. Thank you so much for calling. And I appreciate your time. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay. So, Catherine.
Yeah.
And I know probably after this, we're going to change your company from Tidy Milso to Tidy Milso Trading as Get Your Life Together. because I say that in jest, but I think the reality is that And you can tell me if this is the case.
Yeah.
Once you've helped people move through the headspace of this,
oh, yeah,
and then move through the space in their home, is there like a woosah moment?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have so many success stories with my clients. One of my clients actually, during our first session, I talked to them about like what their goals are, what their dreams are, what are they hoping to achieve. And one of her goals was that she wanted to write a book.
Hmm.
And she's been wanting to write a book for years. 6 months post our session, she sent me a link to her book.
Wow, how about that?
So visual clutter is not only visual, it's mental clutter too. So when everything has a home, there's no excuses to or any, you know, reasons why we should stop moving forward on our goals and the things that we set out to do. And so she was able to achieve that. But a lot of my clients have that aha moment when they're looking for something and they can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whether it's a tool or a pair of scissors or batteries, or they are gifting something to someone and they're like, I know where my cards are. I know where my stamps are. I'm not going out and rebuying this. I made dinner this week out of the things that were actually in my home, and we were able to eat at home and not spend money outside, which could be their goal, is that they want to save money, right? And so once their space is clear, their mind is clear, and so it frees up that capacity for them to do the things that they ultimately want to do.
Typically, what is the junkiest room in any house?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I think it varies person to person, but I would say bedroom by far is the place that I think just kind of it can become a catch-all place. It's, you know, your place of solace, but people have it as their office. They have it as, you know, they have their clothing in there. They could also be using it as storage. So there's so many different things.
Mm-hmm. What about, what is the most difficult place to declutter?
The garage.
The garage?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
In my opinion, well, in my experience, it is very difficult for me to go and declutter someone's garage without knowing what's all else is in the house. So I can only do a garage after I've done the client's home. And that's because when the garage becomes a catch-all, some of these things ought to belong in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're moving these things in the house and then there's no place for them. So I could clear out the garage and everything's clear, but now we've got all this stuff inside the house. So I would say the garage is probably the most challenging.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kay calling from Kansas City. Hey, Kay, what's on your mind?
Okay, so you talked about earlier saving items to give to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I have grandchildren, and I do that same thing. I say, well, okay, I can give this dress to my granddaughter, or, you know, I do that quite a bit, but they're not ready to receive the item.
Mm-hmm. Or they don't actually desire to keep it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's your question?
Well, I guess I'm trying to figure out, how do we stop that,
mm-hmm,
you know, saving keepsakes and also books. I have hundreds of books, and they were excellent books donated by my dad passed, and there are a lot of black writers, and they're just very, very good books, and mm-hmm, I certainly don't want to lose those.
Well, let's start with the keepsakes first, because I'm doing kind of the same thing, but I'm really very specific as it relates to my daughter. So she graduated from college 3 years ago. She's just starting her professional life. So I have old pots and pans. I put them in a box. I put them in the basement. And I've already said to her, when you are ready to get your own place,
mm-hmm,
you will not have to buy pots and pans, because pots and pans are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is not clutter. Mm-hmm. But that's different from keepsakes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely different. I think the limitation is when it overwhelms your space, right? when you have a whole section dedicated to keepsakes, right? There's definitely like those books are something that are sentimental to you that you absolutely want to keep, right? That's different than assigning something to someone, because you have to think you're adding pressure, right? So like if you're my grandma and we have this, you know, good rapport and I love you and you give me a gift, now I feel this pressure to want to keep it where I may as really don't want to keep it, right? And so you have to express it in a way like, hey, I have a couple of things. Do you want to look through it and kind of detach that emotion from it? It's hard to do, but detach your emotion from it and just try to listen, right? Like, is this something that you would like, right? Versus saying, I have something for you, right? Because now you're assigning it, you're adding that pressure. So yeah, I would say there are definitely going to be things that are sentimental. There's definitely going to be things that you want to keep. But in terms of, you know, passing it to someone else, just try to like let go of that expectation of them like loving it, right? Because if they don't love it, then that kind of messes with our emotions a bit, right? So yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much for giving us a call. I appreciate it. Real quick, let's talk about closets, linen closets and clothes closets, suggestions for organizing. Let's start with the linen closets.
Yeah, linen closets. I'm going to go straight to the guest linens.
Guest linens?
Yes, the linens for the guests that don't come.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So I am on the side of your home is yours. It is nice to entertain guests. It is nice to have people in your home. But when you start dedicating 5 to 10 sheets and you may have one guest, then we need to dial it back a little bit, right?
Especially if you live by yourself.
Especially if you live by yourself, yeah. Right? Now, if you're someone who entertains a lot, then it might make sense to have a few. But you also have to honor that spatial limitation, right? So if you've got 5 shelves in your linen closet, 3 of them shouldn't be dedicated to guests, and then you have 2, right? Mm. So I think that that's a place to start. The other thing is figuring out if you like to fold or not. You don't have to fold. I enjoy folding, just as one of the guests said she enjoys folding. Folding for me is a time to express my gratitude and to pray over myself, pray over my family. So it's a different experience for me. But personally, if you don't like folding, roll it. If you don't like rolling it, get a bin and toss it in there. It's that simple.
Yeah, but if you have a bin and you just toss it, then that doesn't that add, isn't that antithetical to what you're trying to do?
Well, if you want crisp sheets, then yes. But if you have the spatial capacity to have a bin and put it in there, you still want to sort. You still want to organize, right? You still want to have towels with towels, linens with linens, right. Stuff like that. But you can definitely do that with bins.
Now, your clothes closet. And see, for me, I live in an older house. My closets are small. I have 2 in the bedroom, 1 in my office, 1 in my daughter's room. But they're small. I don't have a McMansion walk-in closet. And I've got, and I've tried to do this. I've tried to take the, I do have a cedar closet in the basement. So I try to, yeah, how about that's bougie. But I try, but so I, you know, we are now in a transitional period for the season, and so the winter stuff I take it downstairs, but because I love clothes, my stuff is just really there just doesn't seem to be enough space. And unlike our previous caller, I don't have 300 pair of shoes, but what I do is I have my shoes in a box with cedar shoe trees to make sure that, but this it's still too tight.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do?
As far as your clothes, do you have space in your room? Like, do you have a dresser? Do you have...
Yeah, it's kind of full.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it might be time to do an edit.
Hmm.
It might be time to do an edit. I know you said you don't have a high volume of clothes, but it might be time to just do an edit and kind of just see if those things still, as we talked about, fit. Spark joy.
Mm-hmm.
If
the
bell
bottoms from 1977.
The bell bottoms from 1977. You know, those things.
Looking like confunction.
But you'll
cool
be surprised. You'll be surprised by just going through them. How much clothes, like when you think about your laundry, right? The items that are in the laundry, you saw it 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. But then you look at your closet and you're like, I haven't worn this, this, and this. So when you're doing laundry, that's a good time to edit because you can actually see the things that you're not wearing.
Mm, okay. Yeah, maybe I'll try that. And maybe the wishful thinking is that I'll be able to fit back into some of these pre-COVID weight clothes.
Right,
that,
right.
You know, I want to get rid of that. Oh, that's a bad suit right there. But I can only get my arm in it. But,
but that's all right.
But it's all right. Wow. Yeah, that's, you know, now. Let's talk about cleaning.
Yeah.
What is... Do you have any cleaning pet peeves?
Cleaning pet peeves. Ooh. I would probably say using rags for different spaces.
What do you mean?
So, like, if I'm cleaning the bathroom, I'm not going to use that same rag for the kitchen?
Probably not.
Right?
Definitely not a good idea.
So that's my right. pet peeve. So yeah. I use microfiber cloths for everything. Mm-hmm. There's four different colors, yellow, blue, pink, green. And they're assigned for each area of the home. So, like, yellow is for the kitchen because I think bright. Blue is for the bathroom downstairs because the wallpaper in there is blue. And so I use that to designate those different spaces. So that's kind of my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any cleaning tips? I don't like to clean.
Yeah.
I like a clean house,
yeah.
but I don't like to clean. So I've gone on ahead and hired a housekeeper, but not everybody can afford that.
Yeah.
Not everyone is comfortable with, you know, a housekeeper going around the house. And, you know, even if they don't, the thought that they're going through your stuff
yeah.
just doesn't sit well.
Yeah.
So for those who don't have housekeepers,
yeah.
any cleaning tips to, you know, to help you not be overwhelmed?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't have a housekeeper. Full disclaimer, I don't have a housekeeper. I do not enjoy cleaning the bathroom. That is not something I enjoy doing. So what I do is I break that up into smaller tasks. So I'll do the tub one day, and then I'll do the tile one day. Okay, tub is done.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the floor. Well, I'll do the counter first, get everything off the counter, get it onto the floor, sweep the floor. And then I get the counter space to something that's manageable. And then I'll go back the next day, do another, you know, go through and make sure everything is nice and organized. And then I'll actually, like, clean, wipe down everything. So just breaking up that big task of cleaning the bathroom into smaller itty-bitty tasks really works for me. And then also I like to listen to podcasts. So if the podcast is 30 minutes, when the podcast is over, I'm done cleaning from start to finish. So I try to make whatever that small task is to fit that timeline of, you know, listening to a podcast.
You know, one of the things that seems to be really popular, people like to go and buy those plastic containers of, like, powder and sprinkle it on the carpet, and it's scented powder. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
Good idea or bad idea?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I mean, there's a lot of just cleaning products out there that aren't healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I err on the caution of just more natural things, things that are phthalate-free, things that are fragrance-free. Fragrances are nice, but you can kind of replicate that with essential oils. So I try to stay on the caution of just more clean fragrances, natural fragrances for the home.
Mm-hmm. Any other cleaning tips that you want to share with us, some do's or don'ts?
Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't tackle something if you know you don't have the time to do it, because it's just going to make you more frustrated, more overwhelmed. And then at the end of the day, the cleaning task wasn't completed. So just do everything, small task, make it more manageable for you, and give yourself a little bit of grace. Everybody is busy. Everybody has a lot of things going on. So kind of remove those kind of high expectations that your house has to be clean and organized 100% of the time.
Now, post-purge.
Yeah.
But now it's organizing. Final thoughts about organizing your home.
Yeah. Organize your home so that it functions for you.
Okay.
My husband, the way that he likes his items organized and the way that I like my things organized are completely different. And so honoring that, right? I think, in most households, the women are the ones that, you know, make the house a home. And so that can also mean that they're making all of the decisions. Mm-hmm. So recognizing that your significant other, your children, they all have different ways that they need their space to be in order for them to function well, and just being open to that.
Gosh, that sounds, yeah, that really sounds good. I mean, I say to, you know, a lot of my friends all the time, you know, you can't find your keys, you can't find your wallet, you can't find... The best thing that I have ever done regarding organizing stuff is when I come in the house, my keys are always on the side table near the steps.
Yes.
Which is where my wallet is, which is where I put my pens, which is where... You know, I live alone, so I don't have to worry about, you know, my daughter coming in and saying, hey, Dad, $20, can I have this? but even if I have cash,
yeah,
I take it out of my pocket, I throw it on the table so that when I leave mm-hmm. the next day.
Yeah. You're setting yourself up for success.
It's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's right there. Yeah. I still got to deal with those books in the attic. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw you flinch when she mentioned books.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm here, you know, Kay in Kansas City. I am here for the books. You know, reading is fundamental and it fills your mind and your heart and everything else. Catherine, what's your website real quick, please?
Website, tidymilso.com, TIDYMILSO.com.
And I'll make sure that that's posted on our website on WHUR.com. As always, Catherine Pikett, it has been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 28th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins-Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.